Board. Hello, everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation. I have Kristen Hayward, a certified nurse midwife, here with me. I've known her for it's been about like 8 months at least now. We've done some consulting service together, and I've just been really amazed by Kristen and where she's made such an amazing journey. And I asked her to do an interview with me. So thank you for being here today, Kristen.
Thank you so much for having me, Leslie.
So Kristen, I have everybody start out with kind of their midwifery journey. Like, how did you become a midwife? Is there any fun story to it? And then we'll go to the next phase of you running your own private practice.
Yeah, sounds good. I think I have a fairly common story. I was a little young though. So I was 12 when I watched my first birth, but it was actually my aunt and she was having my cousin Kayla. It actually was not a midwife attended birth, but I caught the bug then. And strange enough, Helen Varney Burst actually has a summer home where I grew up, and she used to buy lobsters from my grandparents' wharf. And so, you know, she was a family friend. And I remember my mom would tell me my grandfather would go down special when Helen would come and pick out the lobsters himself. And they thought quite a lot of Helen. And so anyways, I think I was like 16, 17. And my mom knew I definitely wanted to go like women's health, midwifery route for college. And so she invited Helen over. And we just had tea and taught midwifery. And oh, I could cry thinking about it. But
what a moment. I was like, you get a celebrity as your friend's connection in a family. Like, that's just amazing.
Yeah, she's been my mentor ever since. And she's just an amazing woman.
Oh, cool. Well, obviously, to have such an amazing powerhouse, she expects big things out of you for midwifery future. So
yes, I know. No pressure.
Yeah. So I would love to know how long you've had your private practice. Tell us a little bit of like, what made you decide? I'm assuming many nurse midwives don't start out as a new grad with a private practice. It was something that was a breaking point or a transition in their life that they're like, you know what? I can do this. I can run this dream practice or jump out of the security blanket of the hospital system. I'd love for you to talk about that journey.
Yeah, I honestly have always had an interest in business. Like I mentioned, my grandparents were business owners. I've got other family members in business. I even thought like maybe I'd like minor in business. I didn't, but it's always been an interest of mine. I always thought it would be later in my career that I went out on my own, but I was full scope, full practice for 3 years. Then I had my own son. And all of a sudden taking call got a little tricky with my husband being a lobster fisherman and leaving in the night. And so I just thought to myself, you know, why don't I just go out on my own? Of course, when I started planning, it was pre-pandemic and I did end up opening right when that was fresh, but we got through it and everything was fine. And I'm absolutely loving what I'm doing now.
So tell us about like your services and like how much planning did you do ahead of time? What were the steps to open your clinic up?
It was probably at least 6 months of pretty intense planning, you know, getting my business plan done, my mission, website, just like everything, the nitty gritty of everything. I definitely opened bare bones, you know, just like doing everything myself. And I'm slowly working on letting go of some of the control and getting a good team around me to help support me in my future success. But I do a lot of well woman care, GYN problem visits, contraception. I offer all the contraception options. I love seeing patients from all ages. So I see patients from adolescence all the way up to, you know, old age. I've got patients in their 80s. I absolutely love them. So I get a lot of provider satisfaction, but I also like to think, you know, my patients are also getting a lot of satisfaction from me doing this.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder, like, the stigma I see a lot of times around the country is you don't want to promote yourself as a midwife when you're running a women's health clinic. You go to an expo, you brag about yourself. Like, even when I was doing independent contract work and I would strictly just do in an area that's not as familiar with what all midwives can do, you would introduce yourself as, I'm your women's health practitioner, I'm your healthcare provider. And then once they get to know you, you start saying, well, I'm a midwife. Because have you noticed that too in your area?
A little bit. Yes, I have. And I always, it's hard because I felt guilty going the GYN only route. Because I can remember thinking, before, you know, I had a baby, like, how come there are midwives who are not catching babies? Like, I don't get it. Now I totally get it. And I remember feeling a little bit scared to tell Helen that I was doing it. And I told her that, and she's like, why would you be scared to tell me that? You're still midwifing women. And I'm like, you are just so wise. And it's true. Every day I feel like, you know, I'm still 100% a midwife. So thank you for that question.
Yeah, no, and it makes me laugh because we always like midwife means with women. So I always joke. I'm like, I'm still midwifing. I'm not catching babies. I still do some clinical care, but I'm midwifing the midwives. Like it's all your perception, but I hear it across the country often. There's so many people are embarrassed to introduce themselves as a midwife because they're not catching babies at this point in their life, or they're not fitting that stereotypical image. And so it always is important to me, like, let's break that stigma. Like, let's get people aware that there's primary care scope, there's women's health services. Cause there's a lot of nurse midwives across the country that would love to take away the call side, or they're worried about the liability insurance cost. I mean, you and I could talk, GYN insurance is a fraction of the cost of adding the OB side. And so your numbers in your clinic look a lot better. You don't have to work so many hours more compared to someone that's doing a birth center or home birth practice.
Absolutely. Which, you know, married to someone who tends to work a ton, especially in the summer, fall, you know, works out really well with work-life balance. And being a business owner means I can make my own hours and I can work around childcare, and it ends up working well for patients too when I work in the evenings. And so it just, it's been a win-win.
Well, and I think you can, when you're doing more preventative services, not urgent care, not time sensitive matters, most of them aren't going to get their pap smears in the summer. They're going to be on vacation. They're going to be busy. That's something they get done in the wintertime. And you could do contraception heavy visits and they're set for the next 12 months or whenever their next Glenon or Marine or Paragard. So like you can set up a business that supports women on your timeline. And that's the whole point of why we do these conversations is I want midwives to get creative. We can do so many amazing things with our scope and our practice. It's really just our minds and our creativity of what kind of business we want to do. So you mentioned you were starting to expand from not as much self-employed, not as much doing it yourself. How did you decide which staff to add on next first, and what were the thought processes?
Well, that's a really good question. And I don't think that's really easy to answer. Well, I guess the first person I added on, and that was a very easy decision to make, was my biller. I even was like doing my own billing at first, and that just became way too time consuming. So I did bring on a biller, and she helps me with the insurance claims and all of that. So that was huge. That was an easy decision to make. After that, though, it got a little bit trickier. I actually just had a meeting with a bookkeeper, so that was good. And I did start out with like the core attorney, accountant, you know, those are things.
The essential things for running any business that you need the planning and discussion.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I think it's, you're in an exciting place. Have you noticed, cause it's been about 2 years you've been open. Was it a slow and steady? Did your doors bust at the seams? Like, how would you describe your business growth the last couple of years?
It was slow and steady, which was at first very hard to swallow, but now looking back, I'm really glad it happened that way. Because if I had been crazy right at the start, like, the way it has gone is I've been able to make changes as needed, which whether they come from a patient, whether there's something I decide, and I can just make them like that. You know, I don't have to go through 5 different departments, 100 different people just to make a decision to make my practice run better or to give better patient care. And so because I started, I knew I was starting, you know, fresh pandemic. I kind of, you know, did everything, you know, very small scale. And then as I got busier, I just slowly started, you know, adding more, you know, as I could afford. And just, it really has ended up working out very well.
Cool. And then how many days are you doing clinic, and like, how much are you doing admin, just so that another midwife, if they're like, okay, I want to make a goal of being similar salary, similar kind of working, like, what are you at right now and comfortable with the business?
So I'm doing about 15 to 20 hours patient care a week, 2 evenings and then 2 full days. And then admin is just when I can squeeze it in. I'm working towards getting 1 full day of admin. Right now it's nighttime when my toddler goes to bed.
Understandable.
expectations. Yes.
Yeah. And that's the goods and bads of being a business owner, separating work-life boundaries. I think it's so hard when you're new and you've never ran a business before and you're like, okay, I'll just do it here. And it gets harder because sometimes, like you said, your toddler, eventually you're going to have a couple of kids. Eventually they're not all going to take naps at the same time. And I talk often about like time management and having blocked specific times, like this is family time, this is business time. And you're going to be so good at it. I mean, even you're like, okay, if your kid's up, you're not going to be working on stuff. You just had some downtime. Your husband's out of town. You could be flexible with your business. I would love to know, like, I know this just from our consulting services together, but like, what are future things you have in store for your practice? Like, where do you want to grow? What do you see happening?
Yeah, so a huge need in my community is primary care. And so I see bringing on a nurse practitioner. I am advertising for one right now and looking for a good fit. So that would just be huge for not only my patients, but even patients, you know, from the outside who are just looking for primary care. But I'm also bringing on a lactation consultant, and that's happening July 1st. And her name's Rob. She's amazing. Yes. Very excited to have her on. And I wish I had her when I was a new mom. She's very calming and comforting, and I think she'll be a huge asset. Breastfeeding help is another huge need in the community. So.
Yeah. Well, and I think if you don't mind, I'll give a little teaser. There's the benefits of having a business consultant. Sometimes you're thinking of ancillary services. What should I bring? Sometimes we add you some suggestions of what other places have done, and you having so many wonderful in-network contracts, which a lot of lactation consultants just can't get access to, or across the country. This is a great tip for anyone. The revenue stream and the benefits to the community and for you as a stronger practice to have these wonderful doulas, childbirth educators, lactation, massage, all these wonderful services, but particularly lactation, you with the Affordable Care Act can tap into a lot of the billable codes that the average lactation on their own can't do. So you guys are, it's leveraging the experts around you instead of saying, oh, what can Kristen do next? What can Kristen do? You start shifting your mind like a business owner, like what services can my business offer? It's not me directly. And so that's been really exciting to watch your growth with that. Do you have any advice for other nurse midwives that are maybe thinking of starting their own practices or maybe got some mindset barriers? Like, do you have any advice for them of now that you've done it, you joined the dark side, you know?
Honestly, I just want to see more midwives take that leap of faith and just go for it. It's really hard. It's really scary. I can remember when I put my notice in, like I knew it was the right thing to do and it felt fine. But I still, my last day as I was driving home, I cried. I called my dad because my mom was working and I'm like, is this the right decision? He's like, 100%. Like, I've never looked back. It fits my personality so well. I think if you're somebody who, you know, can see yourself as a business owner and making those decisions and just go for it. It's not easy, but just, you know, get those experts around you and go for it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the biggest thing. If you've got the flags popping up, like I see change and I would do this, this, and this, but it's happening too slow, or it's not like you see so many things of how you want to practice, but maybe the place you're being hired at doesn't have that same mission, doesn't hire you for that specific role. It's very difficult. Once you become an entrepreneur and you're good at it, and you're comfortable in these new shoes, it's very difficult to go work for someone else again, because like you gave the perks where you get to pick your vacations, you get to pick your hours. You don't like a way a thing is going or a flow or a service. You don't just see any patients they put on your schedule. You get to choose who you get to see. Is there any other great advice? Like you mentioned having a young kiddo, do you always see yourself doing GYN or do you at some point see yourself expanding back into OB when they're older?
That's a great question. And I don't know, to be honest. I'm just gonna go with, you know, life and how I'm feeling. But I really, my vision for my practice is a comprehensive women's health clinic, one-stop shop where women can come and get a variety of different services. And I just, with that, the sky's the limit. So we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. And we're always remembering, like, if you don't directly want to be on call, you can hire a team that is on call and supporting those women. Right. So, well, awesome. Well, thank you so much. Any other great advice or anything else you'd want to talk about, Kristen, before I let you go for the day?
I think if you just, if you have that feeling, follow your heart and just chase your dream.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Kristen. You have a lovely rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.